Good morning. How good it is to be together on this All Saints Sunday as we remember loved ones, as we celebrate this opportunity to worship together. I trust you know that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, our deep desire is to meet you where you are and share God's love with you. There are a number of announcements this morning. Not surprisingly, we are getting closer and closer to the Advent Christmas season. So be listening carefully, and if you miss some of the announcements along the way, know that you can find information in the Bi-Weekly Herald, in our Enlightener, and also on our Facebook page. A reminder that the carry-out connection bags for children, grandchildren, young ones in your family or extended family are still available for the month of November. They are in the back in the narthex. If you take one of those bags along, just remember to sign the clipboard there so that we know where the bags are ending up. Also, back before, well, just before the pandemic caused us to close everything down in March of 2020, we were getting ready to receive new members into our St. John's family, and we never had a chance to do that. So, Sunday, December 12th, the third Sunday of Advent, we will be officially welcoming new members. And if you have been coming to St. John's since then and would like to be a part of the new members being welcomed and want to learn more about what you need to do, all you need to do is speak with Pastor Addy or speak with me, and we will get you informed, hooked up, and connected so that we might welcome you as well on December 12th. So just speak with us. Also, the alternative gift market is happening again this year virtually later this month, but each Sunday leading up to that day in later November, there will be members of the Alternative Gift Market team here to hand out, following worship, lists of the various charities that we will be supporting and your gift-giving options, so be keeping a lookout for them. In your bulletins today, you find an insert. On the front are the names that we'll be reading in just a bit for All Saints Sunday, but if you flip that insert over, you will see some very helpful information about White Gift Sunday. It'll be here before you know it, December 5th. Pastor Addy has created a wonderful insert explaining not only the White Gift tradition, but also specifics with regard to the two groups that will be receiving our gifts this year. Once again, Urban Promise of Camden and Old First Church UCC Men's Shelter. All of the details about what we are looking for and need are all on this handout. So even if you recycle your bulletin after worship today, claim the handout, please, and take it with you so that you will have this information handy. And we'll make it available again, but hang on to it for now. Also related to the upcoming holiday gift-giving season, you may have noted when you entered, if you came via the narthex, that there is a Christmas tree out there already. And it is because we are collecting, well, we call this the warm tree, because we are collecting hats, gloves, scarves, mittens, warm things that we'll be able to distribute along with our gifts on White Gift Sunday to folks in need. So if you would like to bring along some things to hang on the warm tree, new knit hats or scarves or gloves or mittens, by all means do so. Finally, we are in need of volunteer drivers for our Sunday morning worshipers. You may be aware that each Sunday we have a small but faithful group of persons who see to it that those of our members who cannot drive themselves to worship get here, and they love being able to do so. The group of drivers has gotten very small in recent months, and we'd like to bolster the troops. So if you could help out even just one Sunday a month by helping to pick up some of our homebound folk that do not drive themselves, please speak with Pastor Addy or with me or call the church office. We'll explain to you all the details of what is involved, and we'll get you in the rotation. And our final announcement, on Thursday of this week, we will be celebrating Veterans Day. And every year it has become our custom, and rightfully so, to pause to say thank you to those of you who have served our country in the military as a veteran, some of you still actively serving. We would like to recognize you. We would like to express our gratitude. And so that we might do that, we simply ask, if you are a veteran, would you please be kind enough to stand so that we may express our gratitude to you? I know we have some among us. Thank you so much. There were several veterans at our 8 o'clock service this morning, and we also honored them. We are very grateful for your service, and we do not take it for granted. Join with me now in taking a deep breath, as together we shift our gears, breathing in the strengthening, comforting presence of our God among us, letting go of the things that are stressing us and weighing us down, so that we might be fully present in this place, in this moment, listening and looking for our God. Amen. The middle of the road is a dangerous place to be, literally and figuratively. If we choose to walk in the middle of the road, especially a busy one, chances are good we'll get hurt. If we choose to live our lives claiming the middle of the road as our place to be, avoiding the ups and downs that are an inevitable part of daring to love someone, or pursuing things that are new and different, we will never experience the life that really is life. In order to turn things around in our lives, to make them better, we must be willing to do something, to take risks. I've been known to say, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always gotten. Recently, I came upon a more concise way to express that, a little easier to remember. Nothing changes if nothing changes. We can continue to complain about the things the way they are, or we can do something to make them better for ourselves and for our world. On this All Saints Sunday, we remember those who have gone before us, who have made a difference in our lives and in the world. And I'd be willing to bet that as we think about the saints that have touched our lives, they were people who took risks, who dared to love when others were not loving, who dared to speak out on behalf of those who had no voice, who every now and then went against the flow. Whenever we risk reflecting the light and love of our Creator, the possibility for restoration becomes real. Things change. Things are turned around. Seeking the courage and the inspiration to be a risk taker for God's sake, we gather now to worship. In the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join with me in praying the prayer of confession that is printed in our bulletin. Let us pray. Loving God, living each day in ways that honor you often involves stepping out of our comfort zone, speaking up when it would be easier to remain silent, or avoiding the path of least resistance in order to grow and become all you created us to be. But that is such demanding work. Surely there are easier ways to please you. Surely comfort and familiarity are not all bad. Forgive us, O most merciful God, for taking shortcuts and for avoiding risks when what you long for us to do is trust you to be there for us as we step out in faith to do that which is life-giving and life-changing. As we remember and give thanks for saints who, by the way they lived, made it easier for us to believe in you, we pray for the courage to live in such a way that others will see in us a light so lovely they will want with all their hearts to know its source. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, we know that God's promise is sure. When we confess our sins, God is faithful. God is just. God forgives us and cleanses us from all that is not right. Not some of the things that are not right, but all, wiping the slate clean. May we claim this gift, understanding its magnitude and its value, and may we live knowing it makes a difference. Amen. Please be seated.
Our first scripture reading today is from the book of Ruth, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and then skipping ahead to chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. We spent time in the book of Ruth last week, and this is a continuation of that story. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you, so that it may be well with you. Now here is our kinsman Boaz, with whose young women you have been working. See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now wash and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." She said to her, "All that you tell me, I will do." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When they came together, the Lord made her conceive, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without next of kin, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom, and she became his nurse. The women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David. And our gospel reading this morning is from the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearances say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she has to live on." As always, after our scripture reading, I have a little message for our children, our young ones in our midst, and those listening at home, and of course, all of our young at heart. There's a lesson for all of us. When I was growing up, going to church, I sang in the children's choir, just like some of you do. Whenever we celebrate All Saints Sunday, like we are today, I think of a song we sang in children's choir called "I Sing a Song of the Saints of God." In fact, I realized not too long ago that it is in our hymnal. It's number 295, if you're wondering. We aren't singing it this year because there are so many wonderful hymns to choose from, but the words have always stuck with me when I think about the saints of the church. Now, before I share more about the song, maybe it would be good to talk about what or who a saint is. After all, the word saint is even in the name of our church. Lots of times, saints seem like people who are way bigger and more important than us, larger than life, and I wonder why. They get prayed to, they're in giant stained glass windows all around us every week, and they even get churches named after them. But the truth is, saints are just ordinary people who show us the extraordinary power of God's love. In fact, we like to think of saints as anyone who shines God's light into our lives and reflects Jesus' love. And All Saints' Day is a day on the church's calendar where we celebrate all the people of faith who have come before us and whose faith journeys have helped to pave the way for ours. All of this brings me back to that song I was telling you about, a song that reminds us that saints are not just fancy people who have windows and statues of them in churches. Saints are regular people, just like you and me. Listen to the words of the last stanza of this song. "They lived not only in ages past, there are hundreds of thousands still. The world is bright with the joyous saints who love to do Jesus' will. You can meet them in school, on the street, in the store, in church, by the sea, in the house next door. They are saints of God, whether rich or poor, and I mean to be one too. See, saints are everyday sort of people who spend their everyday lives doing good for others on behalf of God. However they are sharing good news, a doctor helping the sick, a waiter serving in a restaurant, or a gardener cutting the grass, or a young person like you standing up for a friend, saints love God and share God's love by doing what God has called them to do, and most importantly, by being who God called them to be. In school, on the street, in the store, in church, by the sea, in the house next door, whether rich or poor, this hymn reminds us that wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever we have, we too can be living saints. Saints are from the Bible, and some are from more recent times. Some we've only read about, and some are people sitting right next to us, near and dear to our hearts. Some people are no longer with us, and we miss them every day. But all of them had an impact on the church and many lives throughout history, including us. We know there are many saints among us who aren't necessarily portrayed in stained glass windows, but bet that if we had the opportunity and the space, there would be a lot more windows around us, right? I bet we could think of a lot of people we'd like to put in a window to surround us when we worship. Now, in just a bit, you'll hear Reverend Sue and I share a list of names with you, and Andrew will play a chime on the organ for each name. That helps us to hold space and to remember those church family members and friends who passed away this year. We are certainly sad they are no longer with us here on earth, but we give thanks that we knew them and that they were a part of our lives and that we received God's love and light from them. In your carryout connection box this week, you'll actually be putting together a simple little stained glass window craft. And as you do, and as you turn on the tea light that comes with it and set it in front of or behind that shiny cross, you'll see it reflected. Think about or share the story of the saints in your life and remember all the many qualities they have that shine God's light and reflect Christ's love. And most importantly, think about how you can be one too, just like the song says, reflecting God's love and light in your own special way. Let's take time to pray together now, and then we'll join in saying our Lord's Prayer. God, thank you for the lights of many that shine all around us, and for choosing ordinary people to do your extraordinary work. Keep our lights shining too, even as we do our best to walk in the light of those who came before us and in the light of your love. All of these things we pray in Christ's name, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
invite you now to be with me in a spirit of prayer. Gracious God, how we long to sense your presence. How we long to hear a word from you that will help us to live our lives, to face the challenges of each day, to give us courage and strength and comfort and inspiration. Oh God, we are listening. Open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds, so that in the midst of my words, your word might be clearly heard. Amen. Who among us here today does not long for a sense of security, especially during challenging times such as this? There's nothing wrong with longing for security, but let me make the observation that our desire for security often impacts our decision-making. Longing for certainty and stability, we choose careers that forego stirring our passion and energy. Fearing failure, we choose not to risk learning new things. Living amid constant upheaval, we cling to what feels safe and comfortable. As I thought about our longing for security and looked at today's lectionary readings, it occurred to me that once again, Ruth and Naomi have something to teach us, along with the unnamed widow in today's gospel lesson. All three of these women lived with insecurity, and yet found security in ways that were lasting, and I believe we can learn from them. So let's look first, once again, at the story of Naomi and Ruth. Let me remind you that Ruth had promised to be by her mother-in-law's side for the long haul. She had left her homeland of Moab and was a foreigner in the land of Judah, where Naomi lived. A foreigner, a widow, and a woman. Three strikes against her right out of the starting gate. In Judah, she was not valued for who she was as a person. She was valued, however, for the work that she could offer. Not unlike a migrant farm worker, not unlike an undocumented immigrant, Ruth found no security in a land where they were glad to use her and her services, but not give her a sense of worth. Naomi understood this and devised a plan to give Ruth some measure of security in a dangerous place. Ruth, who deserved a gift from Naomi for the companionship and life-giving love she had offered. Yes, these two women were brave. They were courageous. They were resilient. They were gutsy. They were savvy. They demonstrated agency over their circumstances. But that doesn't mean they weren't vulnerable. They were, because they lived in a world in which power rested in the hands of men who made all the rules and then bent the rules to their advantage. Ruth was no dummy. Neither was Naomi. Neither was the widow that we will read about and talk about in today's gospel lesson. They knew that their security lie in something more than the things around them. They knew who to trust. You may remember when Ruth promised to be with Naomi, she said, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God." Ruth had never believed in Naomi's God prior to promising to walk by her side. But she claimed Naomi's God, and that God became a source of strength for her. Now, granted, if you read the little book of Ruth, which I encouraged you to do last week, you'll find that God is not mentioned. And yet, God is very present. God is not mentioned in the birth of Ruth and Boaz's little one, Obed. God is not mentioned when Ruth and Boaz are married. God is not mentioned as this lineage that begins with Obed ends up with Jesus being part of it. But God is present in the background, as God so often is. Now, I need to mention, and I hope you noticed this as Pastor Addie was reading the lesson from Ruth, she skipped verses. The lectionary reading jumps from one chapter to the next, which is too bad because it leaves out the spicy parts, leaves out a bedroom scene and a courtroom scene. I suspect it was the lectionary's attempt to kind of clean up the reading a little bit. But now I bet you really do want to read the book of Ruth, right? Check it out, because God behind the scenes is present in all parts of our lives, whether the parts we talk about or the ones we tend to keep hidden and behind closed doors. This God in the background is the God I think most of us know. God is not out in front of us most of the time. God is in the background, a part of our lives, not a puppet master. Yes, God is still speaking, but God is not pulling strings in our lives. God has always worked in and through people, ordinary people. Like you, like me, we are participants in God's creation. And as I have said countless times, we are our sisters' and brothers' keepers. We are called to be God in this world. And that's risky business. Ruth and Naomi understood that. If they were going to survive in a world that was not favorable to them, after all of their plans and dreams had been crushed, they would need to take risks. They would need to be resilient. They would need to be up for change. I think often of the words of Helen Keller, who spent the majority of her life unable to physically see and hear. She said, "Life is a daring adventure, or nothing." And Eleanor Roosevelt wrote these words, "Do not stop thinking of life as an adventure. You have no security unless you can live bravely, excitingly, imaginatively." Oftentimes, living bravely, excitingly, imaginatively means abandoning the plans we once had because things change. Philosopher Joseph Campbell expressed it in this way: we must be willing to let go of the plans we have made, the life we have planned, in order to take hold of the life that is waiting for us. Naomi and Ruth had to do that. And I suspect the unnamed widow in today's gospel lesson did as well. No one marries expecting to be a widow, and yet in those days, widows were particularly vulnerable, even more so than now. And by the time Jesus had come along, widows were still just as vulnerable as Naomi and Ruth had been. They were economically threatened, most of them with no source of income, without a male in their lives. Enter the trusted religious leaders of their day, who instead of praying for and with the widows, prayed on them. Which is what prompted Jesus to say, and I paraphrase ever so slightly and add a few things, Jesus said, "Beware of the religious leaders who do everything for show, parading around in their clerical collars and fancy robes, saying long flowery prayers, seeking to impress others, claiming the best seats in the sanctuary, in the synagogue, places of honor at the banquets, all the while devouring widows' houses. Or in the words of Eugene Peterson, all the while exploiting the weak and the helpless, the most vulnerable among us. Jesus lifts up this vulnerable, nameless widow as someone to emulate. Why? She only gave a couple of small coins, worth hardly anything. Others had given so much more, yes, but they had given, not going to miss what they were giving at all. Whereas this poor widow, she was going to miss what she gave because it was all that she had. But somehow she knew that her security did not rest in what she possessed, certainly not in her limited resources. Somehow she knew that in this case, less was more. And that's an expression we hear an awful lot these days. I like it. It applies often, but not always. Less is more often means simple is better than elaborate. Or having less stuff enables us more freedom. Being less of a perfectionist enables us to be more forgiving. Using less words often gives us a greater impact or more impact than countless words spewed without thought. Less is often more, except when we're talking about food for hungry people or resources for those who have virtually nothing. Living as we do in a nation where bigger is almost always considered better, where more is preferable to less, where sheer quantity always seems to rule over quality, Jesus' words regarding the widow's mite, her tiny offering, seem out of sync with the culture. And indeed, they are. But that doesn't make them any less true. The three widows we encounter today, Ruth, Naomi, the unnamed widow who brought her last little bit of money and placed it in the temple treasury, these women understood something. They understood that while stuff is nice to have and resources make life easier, perhaps, they are no guarantee of one's security. And all three of these women, having lost the most important person in their lives, knew that even people that we love cannot give us guaranteed security because they too can be gone right before our very eyes. These widows knew wherein their security lie, in supporting each other and in trusting a God who is often behind the scenes, often not visible out there in front, but is ever present. When Ruth said to Naomi, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people and your God, my God." The only thing she was promising Naomi was her presence. I'll be there with you and for you. I can't guarantee that I'm going to make your life easier. I can't guarantee that everything's going to work out because I'm going to stick by your side, but I'm going to be there. And our God, who often operates behind the scenes, makes the same promise. I will be there. I will be there. And because God works through us, God challenges us to be there for each other. Wherein does our security lie? In a God who is ever present even when we don't see God, and in a community of people committed to reflecting God's light and love. Less is more when we recognize that letting go of our sense of security based on stuff and things frees us up to grab hold of the security that comes from our God. May we dare to take that risk so that together we might move toward an uncertain future with hope, with grace, and with an unshakable sense of peace. Amen.
Please be seated. As we shift into our time of prayer and before sharing our names on the All Saints list, I'd like to lift up some joys and concerns that have been shared in our book throughout the course of the week. Two weddings happened over this past weekend, one on Friday and one on Saturday. On Friday, John Riker and Emily Sicker were married. John is, of course, the son of Pat and Ken Riker, and then Ben Bruin married Linda Q yesterday in Washington, D.C., so we celebrate with the Bruin family. And four birthdays to celebrate. Danny Hogan, who just made his exit, celebrated a birthday on November 5th. Marge Jewell and Dennis Canfield celebrated their birthdays on November 4th, and Kelsey Weber celebrated on November 6th, so lots of birthdays in November to celebrate. A few concerns to lift up. We continue to keep in our prayers Jackie Huntsberger, who is in Abington Hospital. Charlie Jewell, husband of Marge Jewell, who is now home from the hospital, but can certainly continue to use our prayers of healing. We keep Judy Letterock in our prayers as she goes into the hospital tomorrow for a procedure. And also, Jim Stevenson from our 8 o'clock service asked for prayers for the Bowes family at the passing of Barbara, owner of Chantilly Flowers, and a good friend to him. So we keep their family in our prayers.
I invite you now to focus on the All Saints list that you have on the insert in your bulletin. We'll be reading first the names of our members, and then the names of Friends of St. John's, as Pastor Addy has already indicated, sounding a chime in their honor and memory. We've added two names at the end of our list, and so we'll be sharing those as well. And I trust that as we listen to all of these names, We will also be holding close in our hearts loved ones from years past who have passed on. We begin with Ian Brown.
Rose Clayton.
Thelma Doviak.
Robert Fennell.
Jane S. Gamel.
Barb Gassler.
Theodore Ted Cassander.
Mary Bell Crewson.
Arlene Ott.
Jean A. Parks.
David Schaefer.
Robert M. Vass.
Thomas Waliza.
Roger Wardlow.
Lynn Cavallaro.
Carol Danweber.
Brian Delp.
Walter Detweiler.
Karen Estep.
Dennis Franks.
Grace Freeman.
Dick Fredrickson.
John F. Hartnett, Sr.
Brian Miller.
Jeffrey W. Minninger.
Ruth Moyer.
Dan Parker.
Jean Rhodes.
Jason A. Rausch.
Miriam Stacy.
Reverend Charles E. Strasbaugh.
Marco V. Wilkinson.
Dorothy Young.
Ken Blackledge.
Thomas Rogers. And a final chime for all loved ones whom we hold close in our hearts and memories this day.
I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. God, your love changes everything. Death to life, less to more. It even transforms us, and in turn transforms the world, if we let it. You call us all to love you with our whole heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. It is impossible for us to do any of that perfectly, but in all of our trying, keep our hearts true and our hearts set on you. Remind us that this task of loving that you have set before us is not easy or without risk, but it is always accompanied by a promise from you that we will have your constant love beside us, sustaining us, inspiring us, restoring and redeeming us. God, make clear to us opportunities to leave our stuff behind that we might find abundant life. Make clear to us opportunities to show compassion and grace and love to one another. Help us to gently care for one another, to listen, to risk for, to walk beside, to journey with. We take an opportunity now to pray silently for all those raised among us in both joy and concern, remembering that we all come to this place with hearts and minds filled of names and situations and people. Hear our prayers, O God. Today, as we remember especially all the saints who surround us, those named as members and friends of St. John's, those that are very much on our hearts and minds, near and dear to us individually. Each person in this place has been influenced by many people whom we no longer see, but who are very much a part of us. We are indeed surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, family members and friends whom we miss and whom we think of each day. Help us to honor them, not only in prayer now, but in the way in which we live, we speak, we show love to others and to you. We thank you, God, for the ways in which we are connected, friends on earth and friends above, those alive and in our daily lives, and those who are very much alive in our hearts. Be with us, O God, as we remember, and that we take hope, knowing that our loved ones are rejoicing in the promise that you made to them and that you make to all of us. Peace and hope and life beyond death. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
As we prepare to dedicate our offering today, let me remind you that next Sunday is Stewardship Sunday, and we will be, along with the offering, dedicating our covenant commitment forms. The basket is on our communion table. Perhaps you've already placed your form in that basket. If not, let me encourage you to remember to bring it with you next week. Place it in the basket. It will be right alongside of the offering basket when you enter. And then we will dedicate all of those commitments and those covenants as a promise as we look toward the future and seek to continue to do God's work here at St. John's. Let us take time now to sing the doxology as we dedicate our offering for today. Generous and loving God, how can we say thank you for all that you have given to us, for all that you have done for us? We seek to say thank you with our lives, with our words, with our actions, and yes, with these our gifts, which we now ask you to bless. Grant us wisdom and guidance as we seek to use these gifts in ways that make a difference. A real difference in the lives of people, in the lives of the people of this world. God, in all of our living, may we dare to trust you. May we risk sharing what we have so that others may have enough. May we know that your constant presence is not just a little promise, but a huge one, one that sustains us and enables us to live each day, for which we give thanks. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you.
As you go out into the world today, go holding close in your heart the loved ones whose lives we have honored this day. Learn from them. Dare to risk being a saint by the way you live your life, reflecting God's light and love every chance you get. And know that you can, as hard as it may be, because God, who often operates in the background, is close at hand, closer than our breath, always within reach. Claim that promise. And as you do, may God's light surround you. May God's love enfold you. May God's power protect you. May God's peace sustain you, now and forever. Amen.